It's good to see you. We're glad that you're here. It's a beautiful day outside, and we are just blessed that you've come to fellowship with us. If you've got your Bibles with you this morning, or if you don't, the scripture will be on the screen for you here in just a second. I would ask that you turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Book of Ephesians, chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading this morning, verses 19 through 22. Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. We'll also be, a little bit later on in the message, we'll be in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And then for most of the remainder of the message, we'll be in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you want to bookmark those places in the scripture for you here a little bit later, it might be easier for you to follow along. We'll begin the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, and here a little bit later, the book of Ephesians 4. And then we'll be in the book of 1 Corinthians 12 and a few verses as well in 1 Corinthians 13. This morning we're going to be starting our 5 to 6 week series talking about church membership. And this is not a very technical group of messages about the ins and outs of what it technically means to be a church member. I'm not going to tell you how that you can come up and be a member. If you're interested in doing that, certainly I'd love to talk with you about it. But what I want to share with you over the next few weeks is the biblical perspective of what it means to be a church member. And this morning, we want to talk about being a functioning church member. What it means to be a functioning church member. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. I'd ask that you stand with me so we give honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus and he shared with them these words. And he said, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens and the saints and the members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place by the Spirit." You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the blessing that you've given us, the opportunity to come and to be in your house this morning. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful sunshine that you prepared us with, Lord, and just provided unto us. What a beautiful day you have made. Lord, Father, I would ask and pray this morning that you bless our church. Lord, that you teach us from your word this morning what it truly means to be a functioning church member. Lord, Father, I pray that you will take us and that you will mold us into the body of believers that you would have us to be here in this community, that we would reach out to a lost and a dying world, that we would be evangelistic in everything that we do. Lord, Father, most of all, I pray that what we do would be honorable and pleasing in your sight in accordance to your very own holy, perfect, and divine will. Lord, this morning I pray and ask that you would but use me as a mouthpiece and a tool and nothing more for your honor and your glory. Lord, I pray that you would but preach me as a dying man unto a lost and a dying world. Lord, I would ask today that if there's anybody here who's never known you in the free pardon of sin, somebody who has never accepted you as Lord and Savior of their life, then before it be everlasting too late, I would ask that they would come, Lord, and be saved. Lord, I pray also for those who may be here and struggling this morning. They know you and they have a relationship with you, but Lord, the world and Satan and temptation and so many other things has just gotten them down. Lord, I want to uplift those individuals and pray for them, Father, and just ask that, Lord, you would give them the strength that they would need to be overcomers. And Lord, Father, may you just lead them and guide them to your altar this morning. Overall, Lord, I pray for us as a church, Lord, that you help to teach us what it means as we study and look at your word, as we look at what it truly means to be a church member. Lord, it's all this we ask in your holy, precious name. Amen. You know, on Wednesday night, I asked briefly with our Bible study group what it meant to them to be a church member. And I'll ask you the same thing. We don't have the time or the place really right now for us to be able to stop and have a discussion about it. We'd be here all morning. But I want you to think for just a moment, what does it mean for you when I ask you, what it means to be a church member. If I say, what does it mean to you to be a church member? What are the things that would come to your mind? You know, some of the answers that we got on Wednesday night, some of the answers were, it means to be a servant. For some, it meant to be a prayer warrior. For some, it meant to be active and involved. For some, it meant to be a studier of the Word. For a lot of different people, it meant a lot of different things. And I want to say this, none of those answers in and of themselves are entirely right or entirely wrong. It's a very large subject when we talk about being a church member. But I want to tell you this, that yes, being a church member is about being a prayer warrior. It's about being a studier of the Word. It's about being a servant. It's about being all those things and so much more. The very first thing that I want you to see about being a church member, especially a functioning church member, is that we're all those things and more. Why? Because church membership means that we are a necessary part of the body. Do you understand that this morning? That you as a member, that you as a believer, you are a necessary part of the body. I think that unfortunately from time to time, some of us begin to believe, you know what, I'm not as necessary as others are. I'm not as necessary as a pastor. I'm not as necessary as the youth leader. I'm not as necessary as our Sunday school teachers. I'm not as necessary as the worship leaders. I'm not as necessary as the one who prays more and studies more. I'm just the one who is a believer, and I'm not as great as those roles in the church. I tell you this, that you are just as important as I am in the eyes of God. Amen? Amen? Your role as a church member is that you are to be necessary, that you are to be needed. You are to see your worth as a part of this church. You're necessary. And I want to tell you one of the great pitfalls of those who begin to think or feel that they're not necessary. When you begin to think or feel that, hey, I'm not necessary, you often will begin to slight or to slack in your service to the church, but more importantly, in your service to the Lord. Amen? Truth and reality. If you're just not made to feel necessary or to have a purpose, you're probably not going to be very proactive. And in the church, the last thing that we need are for members to not be proactive. The last thing that we need is for members to not feel that their service and their worth and their gifts and their talents are not necessary as a part of this kingdom of God that God has blessed us with here in this community. I think about Paul and his writings also in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, I want to read verse 1 for you to start it off. He says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Now you might remember from a few weeks ago, we went into a group, we had a message that was preceded by this verse where we talked about how that we're to have humility, gentleness, patience, and forbearing of one another. Y'all remember that message? We talked about that just recently. So continuing on in this same line of message, continuing on in the same stories, he says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk worthy of your calling to which you have been called. Now let us look in verses 11 through 16 together there in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up of the body of Christ. Until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined together and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. Paul brings out several good things here. One of the very first things that we see and that he instructs us on is this, that the Lord equips us. Amen? The Lord gives us all of the things that we need to be necessary. Amen? Think of that. God has given you everything that you need to be a necessary part of this body of believers. He's given you different gifts and different talents and different abilities. All of them are different, and we'll talk more about that here in a minute. All of those gifts, talents, and abilities are all different, but they're all a key and a necessary part. I may not know what your gift is. You may not know what your gift is yet, but I tell you this, God has equipped you and given you a gift, and that gift is a necessary part of this body of believers. You are necessary. So each and every one of us has been equipped by God. The very next thing that I began to see and understand that Paul said these words here is in this very last part. He says that it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up into love. We learn that we're joined together. You notice how in a verse of Scripture just earlier it said that? When Paul was writing to them, it says we are joined together in Christ Jesus. We are a necessary part because the joints can't go together if you're not there. Let me say that again. The joints cannot go together if you are not there. That means if you're not here, you're missing out. If you feel like you're not a necessary part, you're missing out. And you know who's really missing out? We as the church, we're missing out. We're missing out on God's blessings. We're missing out on the good things that God could really pour out in the life of our church. If we would but see and realize and understand that we are necessary because God has equipped us and because God has joined us together. The second thing about functioning church membership that I want you to see and understand is this. Church membership means that we are all different, but we still work together. We are all different, but we still work together. I want to demonstrate that to you this morning, okay? Dan, what's your favorite types of novels? Romance novels. Yeah, Jason will just tell it the way that it is. Diane's favorite type of reading material is a romance novel. Now, me personally, I am a nonfiction, and preferably, I like to read more of the document type base. I love historical documents. I love to read primary source stuff. That's the kind of reading I enjoy. If I'm going to read a novel, I just don't get into fiction a lot. It's nonfiction for me. But even though Diane loves a good romance novel, and even though I despise such things, Diane and I can still serve together in the same place. Amen? Amen? What if we had a church full of people who like to read nothing but nonfiction and primary source historical documents? Be a boring place, wouldn't it? Yeah, I can tell you that's the truth because I lead a pretty boring life. That's all right. But what if we were all hopeless romantics who read nothing but romance novels? Be a pretty sappy place, wouldn't it? Be a pretty sappy place around here. The point that I try to make is this, is it takes all different types in the kingdom of God. Amen? And it's all right to be different. I don't know what it is, but at some point in time, in serving God and in the church, we thought we all have to be just alike in every way and in every fashion. We're all different. You know, no two people are going to be entirely the same. And church membership, it means that we're different, but we're still unified together in Christ. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Paul gives a really good understanding of what it means to be different but united. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, he says, I do not want you to be uniformed. Paul says, concerning your spiritual gifts, your talents and your abilities, remember I just told you that the Lord equips us all with gifts, talents, and abilities. That's what makes us necessary. Now, in all those gifts, talents, and abilities that make us necessary, the Lord says, I don't want you to be the same in all the ways that I've created one person to be. I don't want you to be that way. I don't want you to be a clone or a recreation. I want you to be different. Now, look at what He says in verses 4 through 7 of the same reading of Scripture. He says, now there are variants of gifts, but look at this, but the same Spirit. And there are variants of service, but look at this, but the same Lord. And there are variants of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in every one. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. We're all given different gifts, talents, and abilities. We're all equipped, and that's the thing that makes us necessary. But church membership is also about being different. It's about being unique in who we are, in the people, in the persons that God has made us to be. We're all given that different gift, talent, and ability. But it comes from the same Spirit. It comes from the same Lord. It comes from the same God. And we're given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Do you see and understand that God has made us all different with all different talents, gifts, and abilities, making us necessary for the common good? You have a good purpose. God has created you with good intents. God has given you gifts with good purposes for you to use in good, godly ways. Use those gift, talents, and abilities and understand that you're necessary. Understand that you're different, but it still means that we're unified in one Spirit with one God for the same common good. Now look with me as Paul continued on, starting in verse 14 of that same chapter. He says, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would there be any sense of the hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would the same sense of smell be?" He says, "But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as He chose. If I were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable." Indispensable. We're all a part of the body. We're all given different gifts, talents, and abilities that make us necessary as church members. But we're all different. Each one of us unique in our own ways to what God has given us and how He has blessed us. But we are all still a part of that one body. You see what he was saying there? Paul says, what sense would it make if the eye says, "Because I am not another part of the body, I am no part of this joint body"? Or if I another part and I said, "I'm not a part of this body because I'm different," does that make any sense at all? Absolutely not. The eyes serve a purpose, as well as the ears serve a purpose, as well as the hands and the feet and all those other parts of the body. They all serve a purpose. But when you add it all together, you get the body. Church, that is what we are. We're all different parts, God giving us all different abilities. But we're all a part of the same Spirit, of the same Lord, joined together to be a unified body of Christ. Amen? Church membership, it means more than just being necessary. It means more than just being different and working together. But church membership also means that everything we do and say is based on a biblical foundation of love. Everything that we do as a member, as a part of the body of Christ, we do based on a biblical foundation of love. Is everybody pretty familiar with 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Everybody know what they call that chapter? The love chapter. And this should make Diane happy. This is like a small romance novel tucked away in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 13 is referred to as the love chapter. And you know where you see it read some of the most? Weddings. They read it at weddings most commonly. And I always thought that was interesting. I've always thought, you know, that's a really interesting idea. I want to tell you why that's interesting. Because Paul is not talking about that kind of love at all. It's okay if that was read at your wedding is still good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say that it's not been, you know, no need for self-validation. But what I am telling you is that this morning I want you to look at how Paul really intended for us to understand 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we do that by starting in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. I want to continue reading on, and we'll continue right in to 1 Corinthians 13. He says, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets and teachers and miracles, then the gifts of healing and helping and administering in various kinds of tongues. All are apostles, all are prophets, all are teachers. Do all work miracles?" He asks these questions. "Do all possess the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way." Now he gets into the love chapter. He says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing." He says, "If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, and have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it too will pass away. For we know in part, and we know prophecy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these things, but the greatest of these is love." Now, I don't think it's any surprise that almost all of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians is about service. How we serve, the gifts that God gives us to serve, and how that we serve jointly together. And then Paul immediately begins to talk about how that we love. I think that Paul is sending us a very clear message here that as we serve God and as we serve others, we serve together in Christ's love. Amen? Amen? And everything that we do as a body of believers is meant to be done in love. You know, Paul started out in the first few verses of chapter 13 talking about, you know, what good does it do if I have the faith to move mountains? What good does it do if I should give my body to be a sacrifice? What good should it do if I do all of these great things, but I do them without love? That's a good question. What good does it do to serve God? What good does it do to come and be in this place? What good does it do to come and worship even Him if we have no love? If we have no love for God and we have no love for each other, what is the point? I don't know, that's a good question, isn't it? What is the point? Paul says that we become as tinkling bells and cymbals if we pray and we do it without love. Let me tell you, everything that we do in Christ ought to be done in love. And if you're doing it for any other reason, if you do it for self-glory, if you do it for pride, if you do it for ego, if you do it because you feel guilty, if you do it because you think nobody else will, you're really doing it for the wrong reasons. Do it because this is the gift that God has given you. Do it because you are necessary. Do it because you are a part of the body of Christ. Do it because you are unique in the gifts that God has given you. Do it because you love. Last thing I want you to know about church membership before we close is this. Being a church member and having church membership is about being a functioning member. You know, I think it's an oxymoron when we have to use a term like functioning member. Somebody's calling. If it's not God, don't answer. Amen. We talk about a functioning member. That really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Why? Because as a body of believers, we ought to be functioning members. I want to say that again. As a body of believers, we ought to be functioning members. Let that sink in. If you don't hear a whole lot else today, I want you to hear that. Being a member, being a part of the body of God, means that you are a functioning part of the body of God. At some point in time, we've just thought, or we tell ourselves, or we convince ourselves, or we lie to ourselves enough, and we get this idea that I don't have to be a functioning member. That me just coming and sitting in the pew, that's enough. Or at some point we really lie to ourselves and we say, I know the Lord. I have a relationship with Him. And that's all I need. I don't need to come to church. I don't need to listen to the preacher. I don't need to come and hear His Word. I don't need to come and sing His praises. I don't need to come and serve. I don't need to come and do any of those things because I know the Lord. Yeah, if you know the Lord and you can say earnestly in your heart, yeah, I know the Lord and I have Him in my heart. Well, you know what? You'll probably be in heaven just like all the rest of us because that's what the Word of God says. But I want to tell you something. Don't sell yourself short on what you can do for the Lord. There are so many Christians who never go more than skin deep in their relationship with God. They never serve because they don't feel like that service is necessary. They never witness and they never share because they don't feel like they can do it well enough, or they don't feel like it's their job, or they don't feel like it's their responsibility, or maybe they're not brave enough to step out. I tell you this, you're a necessary part. God's given you unique gifts, talents, and abilities. He wants you to serve, but I ask you to do it in love. I ask you to do it in love. As we begin over the next 4 to 5 weeks continuing to talk about being a church member, I want you to seriously, seriously look at your heart and look at your life. And I want you to ask yourself, am I a functioning church member? Am I a functioning church member? Am I really doing what I need to do to be bringing honor and glory to God? Am I really doing what God is asking me to do? Am I living up to the gifts and the talents and the abilities that God has given me? That's not for me to answer. That answer is not for me to give to you. That's an answer that you need to ask of God, and God will tell you. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26. I want you to think about this. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. In that very next verse, Paul says we're all members. We're all members. If one suffers, we all suffer. If one is honored, we all rejoice together. That's what it means to be a part of a body of Christ. Are you a functioning member? When one suffers, do we all suffer? When one rejoices, do we all rejoice? Or are you kind of off in your own little world? There's some of us off in our own little worlds, aren't there? Yeah. I'm just going to tell you right now. There's a lot of people that are just off in their own little world somewhere. You know what? I don't know about you, but when I stand before God, I want to be able to answer rectifiably before God what I did with my gifts, talents, and abilities. Maybe that's just me. God gave me a gift to preach. Now, you may not agree with that, but God gave me a gift to preach. Amen. Man, thank you. And when I stand before God, I want to be able to answer, as the Old Testament says it, as the King James says it, recompensably. I want to be able to recompense before the Lord what I did with the gift that He gave me. When you stand before the Lord, what will you say about the gifts, the talents, and the abilities that He has given you to be a functioning and necessary part of this body of believers. As our praise and our worship team comes, we move from a time of preaching and speaking, and now we come to a time of response. I want to ask if you're here today, and if you've never known Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's impossible to be a part of His kingdom eternally without knowing Him. And I say that again. If you've never known Christ, it's impossible for you to be a member of that eternal kingdom. I would ask that you'd come and you give your heart and your life to Him. If the Lord's working on you, would you not respond and be obedient to the call of salvation? Maybe you're here, you don't know what your gift, your talent, or your ability is. I hear that a lot. Pastor, I don't know what God's calling me to do. I don't know what gifts the Lord has given me to do to serve Him. I tell you this, if you truly ask of the Lord, what is my gift? He'll tell you. If you ask of the Lord, Lord, help me to use my gift, He will open up doors and ways and means for you that you might use your gift to honor Him. Just ask for it. Would you not come this morning? Maybe you're here and you know that your membership has been nothing more than that, just a term, membership. You've not really been the functioning member that the Lord would want you to be. I'd ask that you'd come and that you would ask the Lord to help make you the member of this body of believers that He would want you to be. Maybe you just need to come and pray. I want you to know that this altar is a place for you, that you can come and you can cry your heart out to God and He listens and He will respond. However the Lord leads, you be obedient today. Would you not come? Dear Lord, as we close out this time of preaching, Lord, as we come to a time of response, I ask, Lord, that Your people would be obedient. Lord, if there's someone here who's not saved, Lord, would they come be saved? Lord, if there's a Christian here who just needs a strengthening, Lord, I pray that they would come and ask of it. Lord, maybe there's a Christian here who doesn't know what their gift, talent, or ability is. Lord, I pray that You reveal it. Lord, maybe there's one who knows of their gifts and their talents and their abilities, but they don't know how or where to use it. Lord, I pray that You make a way. Lord, Father, maybe there are those that are here. They're just kind of in their own world, in their own place. Lord, I pray that You would, through the Spirit, lead them to show them that they're a necessary part of this body, that they have a purpose. So, Lord, we give it all to You this morning. It's in Your holy, precious name we ask it. Amen.
Let's all stand together.